when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. USA.
From the ear to the brain, it's a matter of an inch or so. The ear to the heart, a little more. From the ear to the rest of the woman's quite the way to go. And that's what our friend the microphone is for. It helps if you think of a woman as a placid pool. Think of your voice as a precious stone. The water is still, so still until you drop your jewel. Such beautiful rings you create with the help of your friend, the microphone. Everyone has a vibration, a sleeping frequency of their own, waiting in anticipation for the touch of a sympathetic tone. The words aren't important, the sound contains its own rewards. The fruits of the alchemy you'll do. Murmurs that issue from your vocal cords, turn to gold with the help of the friend you're murmuring through. Blah 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 blah. Blah 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 blah. Blah blah. You can say so much without saying so much. When you touch your mouth to the windscreen, you can get so close without getting too close when you're holding this wonderful machine. And thanks to this product of genius German engineers, you don't have to walk this world alone. This world made of women with hungry hearts and thirsty. Anxiously waiting for sips of the honey that dribbles and drips from the silver spoon pressed to your lips. Your microphone, your microphone, the microphone.
This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM Peconic Public Broadcasting. And I am at one end of the microphone, and at the other end of the microphone is the man himself, the person who could quite clearly be called the finest leading man of his generation on Broadway, the man you heard, Brian Stokes Mitchell. Welcome to our show, Stokes.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's so great to be here.
Well, what did you feel like when you got to sing that song? That's quite an eclectic score by David Yazbek.
It is. I love Yazbek. Yeah, he's one of my favorite composers because I tend to like quirky and sideways, and he certainly is quirky and sideways. And it was a song that was presented. When did he do that? It was one of the later songs that he wrote in the, the show, I think. And we were sitting around the table, and then he sang it for everybody. And we all just thought it was the funniest, most clever song ever. I just love the song.
Well, you get everything possible out of it, as you tend to do. So we're going to take a look at your career in song. We're going to hit upon the 8,022 things you're doing between now and Memorial Day, including your new album, Brian Stokes Mitchell Plays with Music, which is quite an astonishing album. I'm curious, so what kind of music did you listen to? What kind of singers did you admire growing up?
I was raised on jazz. My father loved jazz. And so every morning we would wake up on Saturdays and Sundays, he would wake up early and have jazz already playing on the family stereo. And it was Count Basie and Ella Fitzgerald and Duke Ellington and Sarah Vaughan and Kenny Burrell and Miles Davis. And that's what I would hear. Occasionally my mother would sneak in Harry Belafonte or Mary McCabe or the Mormon Tabernacle Choir or something classical in there too, but only very occasionally. Mostly it was jazz. So it's funny because people say the way I approach music is a little different, and I realize, oh, it's because I sing like a jazz singer. I
sure.
think that they were my influences, really. Later on, when I got into San Diego Junior Theater, I would go to the public library, and I checked out every single record in the days of records and
right.
public libraries.
Those flat, black, round things
yes,
with the hole
exactly.
in the middle. Yeah,
exactly.
I remember them well.
Yeah. And I would get the scores, and I would get those flat, black, round things, and I would put them on, and I would play them. And I think I took in most of the pantheon of the American musicals. I'm looking at your book here, and you know, probably I listened to at least three-quarters of the ones that were recorded in there, and maybe more. And that's kind of was my education. In musical theater as well.
But I've also, I hear a little Billy Eckstein, a little Johnny Hartman in the way you sing.
Oh, they were definitely, I heard them a lot in the house, and Nat King Cole as well, and all of those guys. Because, and they're also baritones too, so
right, sure.
my voice kind of, I think, gravitated to that area.
Interesting. Well, you made your Broadway debut in a musical called Mail, which I don't have the cast album for.
Because
it wasn't recorded.
Never did.
And then the next show you did was with the one and only David Merrick, which was a rare revival of Gershwin's OK, which we also don't have the cast album for.
Yes.
So there's quite a paucity, but I thought we'd leap in, and why not go to a very high shelf since we're talking about Gershwin, and our show is supported by the Ira and Leonore Gershwin Philanthropic Fund. This out of control, amazing duet you do with Audra and Michael Tilson Thomas from Porgy and Bess. Can we hear a little of that?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
The two great singing actors of their generation, Audra McDonald and Brian Stokes Mitchell, who's here with us today. Was it a drag doing two shows on Broadway and not getting them on, getting them recorded for posterity?
No, I don't know if that I thought of that. I was so excited being on Broadway for the first time with Mail, and then being the lead in a show for the first time with that I don't think that I ever really thought about that until I think it was Kiss of the Spider Woman, I think, what was my first show album that I did, if
Indeed.
I remember right. And then I remember thinking, I think I've made it now. I've recorded a show album. That was really, really exciting. And I wasn't expecting that because that was a revival.
Right.
And generally, you don't record an album a second time.
Right. Well, you teed that up beautifully, Stokes. I think Vanessa Williams took over and you and Howard McGillin. Yeah. And I think probably because of Vanessa's recording contract, you got another bite at the apple. So here, folks, in a beautiful Candor and Ebb ballad, is Brian Stokes Mitchell's first Broadway recording.
You and your stupid movies and your Aurora and your shawls. You disgust me. I am not one of your goddamn movies. I will probably die here, and I will have accomplished nothing but my death. Nothing. Look at me. I'm shaking. I'm as pathetic as you. There's a cobblestone street with a little red door. And three flights up is Malta. Waiting there is Malta.
Over the wall.
And I still can see us lying together, talking, smoking, lying together. And the thought of being together helps me close my eyes, and I hear her step, and I know she's come to hold me. So my senses stir. But it's never, ever. It's just a dream of hope. So I close my eyes and I hear her step, and I know she's come to hold me. So my senses stir.
Can get where he wants to if he's got some fire in his soul. We'll see justice, Sarah, and plenty of men who will stand up and give us our due. Oh, Sarah, it's more than promises. Sarah, it must be true. A country that lets a man like me own a car, raise a child, build a life with you.
With you.
Well, you didn't think that Porgy and Bess was going to be the only Brian Stokes Mitchell, Audra McDonald duet we were going to play, did you? That, of course, was from Ragtime, one of the great, great shows to end the 20th century. And I'm assuming, Stokes, the show that changed everything for you.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I knew when we were doing the workshop of that show, something magical descended on the room when the first lines of the piano started that Stephen had already written for it, because not everything was written in that first workshop. But I felt, and I think most of us around the room felt, something huge kind of come around us. And I don't know what that was. And I knew something was going to happen with that particular show. And then we did another two or three workshops of it. And then we did a production of it in Toronto. And then I went out to California before we opened it on Broadway. But that feeling never left me.
And that was an incredibly long gestation period. You were with that show, must have been for, what, 2.5 years?
Yeah, I think it was about 2.5 years.
And anything particular evolve or change for you once you did it? I know that clearly once you performed it, it became such a hit and it became such a amazing marker in your career that people were engaged in Cole House's story probably in a different way than perhaps when it started, or... Your trajectory as an actor, getting to play that amazing part for such a long time, must have been an evolution of some kind.
Yeah, I actually love a long run. That's one of the things that I love about Broadway. Some people don't like that. Actors don't like that about Broadway. You have kind of two different kinds of actors, I think. You have the actor that does a role, and then they end up doing it the same way every time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they do it really well, so it always looks fresh. And sometimes it can get a little stale after a while because they're just doing it the same way every time. For me, I like to explore what I call the spaces in the music. I think that's where art resides, is in the spaces, it's between the brush strokes that are painted. It's the spaces where the sculptor puts in, not where the marble resides, but where the space resides. And it's the same thing with the music, with the jazz solo. It's the spaces that the soloist puts in that makes it artful. And I've learned to explore those spaces that could just be 20 millisecond longer pause in something that I'm in a line that I would normally say, but it has an effect. And what happens is, especially with the long run of a show, you can play with an audience and you can start feeling, oh, that got a bigger laugh, just that 20 millisecond pause, or just that little thing that tilting my head in the slightest way. And that's what I really love to do. And that keeps it fresh every time.
Wow. Well, after Ragtime, it seemed to me a lot of avenues were opened up to you. And when I look at Broadway history, I think there's sort of two kinds of leading men. There's a John Raitt, Gordon McRae kind of middle American guy. And then there are the snazzy, sophisticated, big actors. And obviously that's a tradition of Alfred Drake and Richard Kiley. And now you. And how did Man of La Mancha happen? Was that something you'd always wanted to do? Or do you feel that those two guys are sort of hovering in the wings saying, yeah, do the parts we used to do?
Yeah, sort of. I remember listening to them. I stole a lot from them, listening to them on albums when I was younger and thinking, oh, that voice is like mine. Oh, I can do that. Oh, listen to that. Oh, listen to that vibrato. Oh, listen to the way he phrased that.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I might do that one differently if I ever get that opportunity. And when I was in San Diego, I got a job as a muleteer at the Belleville Dinner Theater, which is no longer there. It died, many, many, many years ago, as most dinner theaters did, in doing Man of La Mancha. And they had so many muleteers. I wasn't even one of the named muleteers. I had to make up a name for myself. I think it was Juan or something like that. And but I remember watching the lead who was in the show thinking, oh, because I thought he did a really wonderful job. And I remember thinking, man, I would love to do that role one day.
Here's one of the most beautiful songs from a beautiful score, sung beautifully by Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Ah, sweet sovereign of my captive heart, I shall not fail thee, for I know I have dreamed thee too long. Never seen thee or touched thee, but known thee with all of my heart. Half a prayer, half a song, thou hast always been with me, though we have been always apart. Dulcinea, Dulcinea. I see heaven when I see thee, Dulcinea. And thy name is like a prayer an angel whispers. Dulcinea, Dulcinea. If I reach out to thee, do not tremble and shrink from the touch of my hand on thy head. Let my fingers but see, thou art warm and alive, and no phantom to fade in the air. Dulcinea, Dulcinea, I have sought thee, sung thee, dreamed thee, Dulcinea.
Stokes, you seem equally at home in the recording studio as you do on stage. You've done a few, we'll get to my favorite, a few sort of specifically studio recordings, but you're also a master. You've done three albums, and your latest album, Brian Stokes Mitchell Plays With Music, you, as my high school drama teacher, say you do everything on it but sell orangeade during intermission. You did the arrangements, you play the piano, you do singing. Tell us a little bit about this album, and it's on Broadway Records. I urge everybody to get it. Sort of your genesis to what you're trying to do with this, which is your third album.
Yeah, it's interesting. So my very first album that I did was kind of my expression, what I wanted to be. This is the music that I hear. I also was brought up in a lot of world music and still love world music as well. So that was kind of that statement of, here's me, the jazz, you hear jazz in that. It's kind of a more pop Broadway album, I think, more you could call it than anything. My second album, I went really simple. It was based on an album that Tony Bennett had done years ago, and with just a piano and vocal. And
with Bill Evans?
With Bill Evans. Oh. Exactly, one of my favorite. That's, 1975.
You play that album all the time on our show.
I love that.
Yeah, number one, it's a Desert Island Disc for me.
Yeah, good. It would be for me too. So we could be on the same island, because I'm a huge Bill Evans fan and a huge Tony Bennett fan, and just what listening to the two of them play. And so I did that with my pianist Ted Firth, who also is a co-arranger a lot of times. And in the studio, we got together and just did these songs simply because it really is the simplest way a singer can do a song with accompaniment. Mm-hmm. It's just one instrument, one singer, and we, like they did it, we sat next to each other and just recorded them live. And we didn't do, fixing takes or anything like that. If we did, we would do whole chunks of songs or just songs again. This new album, I wanted to do something different. So I started it out actually as a trio album. And then as I was doing it, it was going to have Brazilian music, jazz music. It was going to be a combination of everything. And after a while, an album starts telling you what it wants to be.
Interesting. Well
put. Yeah. And I've learned that, I think, through doing a role as well. After a while, the role just starts talking to you and telling you, like that Cole House, when you asked the question of Cole House, he kind of just blew into me, and all of a sudden I was doing him very easily. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happened with this album. This album said, you know what? What I want to be is a big Broadway orchestral album. And that's one of the reasons I called it Plays With Music. Only one of them. There's many reasons,
right.
You know, because I literally got to play with the dots on the paper on many, many of the songs and put down exactly what I heard in my head.
Wow. Well, not content to appropriating a woman's song from Company, you're doing all the parts in Company. So here is Getting Married Today on this wonderful album, sung by Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Bless this day, pinnacle of life, husband joined a wife. The hearts
leaps up to behold this golden day. Today is for Amy. Amy, I give you the rest of my life to cherish and to keep you, to honor you forever. Today is for Amy, my happily soon to be wife.
Pardon me, is everybody here? Because if everybody's here, I want to thank you all for coming to the wedding. I'd appreciate your going even more. I mean, you must have lots of better things to do, and not a word of it to Paul. Remember, Paul, you know the man I'm going to marry, but I'm not, because I wouldn't ruin anyone as wonderful as he is. Thank you all for the gifts and the flowers. Thank you all. Now it's back to the showers. Don't tell Paul what I'm not getting married today.
Bless this day. Tragedy of life. Husband yoked to wife. The heart sinks down and feels dead. This dreadful day.
Listen, everybody, look, I don't know what you're waiting for. Waiting, what's a wedding? It's a prehistoric ritual where everybody promises fidelity forever, which is maybe the most horrifying word I've ever heard. And we're just followed by a honeymoon. We're suddenly here, realize you're saddled with a nut and want to kill me, which you should. Thanks so much, but I'm not getting married. Go have lunch, because I'm not getting married. You've been grand, but I'm not getting married. Don't just stand there, I'm not getting married. And don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today. Go, can't you go? Why is nobody listening? Goodbye, go and cry at another person's wake. If you're quick for a kick, you could pick up a christening. But please, on my knees, there's a human life at stake. Everybody, I'm afraid you didn't hear. Do you want to see a crazy lady fall apart in front of you? It isn't only Paul who may be ruining his life. You know, we're both of us be losing our identities. I telephoned my analyst about it, and he said to see him money. But my money, I'll be floating in the Hudson with the other garbage. I'm not well, so I'm not getting married. You've been swell, but I'm not getting married. Clear the hall, because I'm not getting married. Thank you all, but I'm not getting married. And don't tell Paul, but I'm not getting married today. Go, can't you go? Look, you know I adore you all, but why? Watch me die like Eliza on the ice. Look, perhaps I'll collapse in the axe right before you all. So take back the cake, burn the shoes, and boil the rice. I didn't want to have to tell you, but I may be coming down with hepatitis, and I think I'm going to faint. So if you want to see me, then I'll do it happily. Go, wouldn't it be funnier to go and watch a funeral? So thank you for the 27 dinner plates, 37 butter knives, 47 paper weights, 57 candles.
One more thing.
I am not getting married.
Softly said.
I am not getting married.
With this ring.
Still, I'm not getting married.
I be wed.
See, I'm not getting married.
Let us pray
that we're not getting married today.
Well, if you've ever wanted Brian Stokes Mitchell split into thirds, there you go. On this album, Brian, you sing an incredibly beautiful song, One of the Greats, by Frederick Lowe and Alan J. Lerner. And Alan J. Lerner is the next person you're tackling on a stage at Encores with Love Life, which is the show that everyone loves and was also never recorded. No one knows about it. Music by Kurt Vile. You've never recorded anything by Kurt Vile, have you?
I have never recorded anything by Kurt Vile. Wow. I think it's just, yeah.
So we've got to make sure that show, that concert gets recorded.
They're trying to do it. They're trying to make it happen, because there has never been an album of Love Life that was ever recorded.
Right.
So
interesting. Okay, March 18th through 22nd at New York City Center. So as a lanyap, as they say, let's hear how Stokes sings a little Alan J. Lerner.
Toujours j'ai eu le même aveu. Sur terre une déesse, au ciel en Dieu. Un homme désire pour être heureux. Sur terre une déesse, au ciel en Dieu. Years may come, years may go. This I know will ever be so.
The reason to live is only to love a goddess on earth and a god above. If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in summer. Seeing you in summer, I never would go. Your hair streaked with sunlight, your lips red as flame, your face with a luster that puts gold to shame. But if I'd ever leave you, it couldn't be in autumn. How I'd leave in autumn, I never will know. I've seen how you sparkle when fall nips the air. I know you in autumn, and I must be there. And could I leave you running merrily through the snow, or on a wintry evening when you catch the fire's glow? If ever I would leave you, how could it be in springtime? Knowing how in spring I'm bewitched by you so. Not in springtime, summer, winter, or fall. No, never could I leave you. If ever I would leave you, how could it be in springtime? Knowing how in spring I'm bewitched by you so. No, not in springtime, summer, winter, or fall. No, never could I leave you at all.
I could have sworn it was right after we closed on the road in that flop revival of The Prince of Potsdam. Yes, I was understudying the lead.
No, dear, we were both in the chorus. Oh, there was a waltz in it, remember? Something about a bar.
Yeah, madame, you are ravishing tonight. You have made me the happiest of men.
Oh, your highness.
Wunderbar! Wunderbar! Wunderbar!
There's our favorite star above.
What a bright, shining star!
Like the love, it's wunderbar!
Gazing down on the Jungfrau
from our secret chalet for two.
let us drink, Liebchen and mine.
In the moonlight with thine,
to the joy of a dream come true.
Wunderbar,
what a perfect night for love.
Here am I, here you are.
Why, it's truly wunderbar.
Wunderbar, wunderbar.
We're alone and hand in glove.
Not a cloud near or far.
Why, it's more than wunderbar.
Say you care, dear.
Or you madly
say you long, dear.
Or your kiss,
do you swear, dear?
Darling, gladly,
life's divine, dear.
And your mind, dear. Wunderbar, wunderbar. There's a favorite star above.
What a
for love, it's wunderbar. And your mind,
wunderbar.
There's a favorite star above.
What a bright shining star,
like our love,
it's wonderful.
That was from the first revival of Kiss Me Kate since its original inception. And who better than Brian Stokes Mitchell and Maren Mazie, who we really should spend a moment talking about, because you're preparing a special, I guess really once-in-a-lifetime concert version of Ragtime as a benefit for the Actors Fund on April 27th.
Yes.
So talk a little about revisiting that and your experience working with her on two major shows.
Yeah, I actually, I think I did four or five shows with Maren. Yeah, she was my leading lady that I performed with more than anybody. We did, at City Center Encores, we did Kismet together. She replaced Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio in Man of La Mancha. We did Ragtime, and we did Kiss Me Kate together, and we did some concert work as well.
And you did South Pacific with Jason, her husband.
And yes, South Pacific with Jason, of course. And they were neighbors as well. Right. They only lived a block and a half from me.
Uh-huh.
Of course, which means in New York City, you never, ever see the people when they live that close. We are dedicating this concert to her. It's we were trying to do this on the 20th anniversary of Ragtime, which is about a year and a half ago, and that's when Maren was dealing with ovarian cancer then. So we weren't able to do that, and we kind of kept putting it off and putting it on and off, you know, to see if she would be able to do it, and because she wanted to be a part of it, but just, you know, that's not the way that the universe had planned. So so now we're doing it. There'll be somebody in her place that has not been announced yet, so I don't want to say who it is, but somebody really, really special that we're very, very happy about, and with Audra and Peter Friedman and most of the original cast that can show up for it. We've lost some other people from that company as well, but we're really, really excited to do that as a gala for the Actors Fund, particularly, and everybody is so excited about it, and it's nearly sold out now. It sold out almost probably within the first hour or two.
Sure.
I think there are a few tickets left, some of the high-level tickets for the show. And we're also trying to get some other things, like get Broadway HD to record it,
do a
documentary.
To get great performances to record it.
Yeah, exactly. That's where we're looking at
Friends
that
at
because
PBS.
So many people want to see it.
Sure.
And we want it to kind of stay alive that way.
And since you opened the door for me, you're practically synonymous with the Actors Fund. You've done a lot for that wonderful organization. And how did you first sort of come to meet with them and understand what their mission was, which is so extraordinary and so important.
Well, I first heard about them as an actor, actually, in Los Angeles, I remember, getting some shoes through the Conrad Canson Shoe Fund.
Oh, sure.
One of the things that
sure.
the Actors Fund has.
Right.
A gentleman named Conrad Canson set up a trust account where, you know, actors, performers could get shoes. He thought actors should never have, you know, bad shoes at an audition. Mm. So, and that was my first time that I ever really heard of them.
Wow.
And then years and years later, when was this? Around Ragtime, I think, they asked me to be on the board. And about 3 years after that, they asked me if I would be the chairman of the board.
Well, one of the great surprises in my theater going lifetime was this amazing concert of South Pacific at Carnegie Hall, which had Jason Danieli in it, along with Reba McEntire. And I remember, because I've written a book about South Pacific, that everybody knows that song in the first 20 minutes, right? Some Enchanted Evening. But the big revelation, even though we had heard Ezio Pinzon, whomever, sing it for, I don't know, 50, 60 years, was what you did with the 11 o'clock number, uh-huh. This Nearly Was Mine. And I remember everybody saying, that's the song. That's the drama of the show. So when you tackled This Nearly Was Mine, which is not a song that anybody tackles, at Carnegie Hall, what were some of the things you were working on exploring?
Well, in that song, really, it was about the spaces. That's what the second verse is about. You sing it the first way all the way through and with this kind of long lyrical line. And then the second time, I thought, this song is about spaces, like The Impossible Dream is to me, the way that I do that. It's about the space in the song that I think makes my versions different from anybody else's. And I think loneliness exists in the spaces. And, you know, that kind of desire and want and all of those things exist in spaces. You don't feel those in a long line of a song.
And you open that up, that window, talk about finishing the hat, right? You open up that window for the audience to come in and see his heart in that moment.
Absolutely. When you sing one dream in my heart. Is different than one dream in my heart. You know, there you're hearing music. The other one you're hearing feeling.
Well, let's hear Brian Stokes Mitchell version of what Ted Chapin calls the stealth ballad from South Pacific.
One dream in my heart. One love to be living for. One love to be living for. This nearly was mine. One girl for my dream. One partner in paradise. This promise of paradise, this nearly was mine. Close to my heart she came, only to fly away, only to fly as day. Fancies of things I wish were true. I'll keep remembering evenings I wish I spent with you. I'll keep remembering kisses from lips I'll never own, and all the lovely adventures that we have never
to be living for is merely was mine. One girl for my dream. One partner in paradise. This promise of paradise, this nearly was mine. Close to my heart she came, only to fly.
Crowd goes wild, and why wouldn't they, for Brian Stokes Mitchell? Well, this has been such a wonderful hour. I wish there was more, as you say in your one of your earlier albums. We haven't done sung half the songs you want to, but I just want to remind listeners, if nothing else, Stokes's new album, Brian Stokes Mitchell's Plays with Music on Broadway Records, is available on, I guess I can't say record stores near you anymore, can you?
I know.
You can, on your iPhone, on your iPad, wherever you are, it's definitely worth listening to, as is everything. And we were talking a little earlier about Bill Evans. This is the 350th episode of the show. And our playout since the beginning was Bill Evans and Tony Bennett singing the song we're going to play. But this time, we're going to chuck out Bill Evans, we're going to chuck out Tony Bennett, and we're going to play you singing Some Other Time.
Ah, that's terrific. I'm so glad you're doing that, and you love that song as much as I do as well. But just to say thanks to them, and I allude to that in the notes, the liner notes on the album as well, that, you know, nobody reads anymore. They don't even know what I'm talking about when I say album, probably, you know. It's a CD, actually, even when I was doing it. But it was kind of a way to say thank you to them.
Well, you inspire all of us. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Larry. It's been a great pleasure. Thanks for covering the arts and the theater and loving it so much.
Where has the time all gone to? Haven't sung half the songs I want to. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time. This day was just a token just when the fun is starting. Comes a time for parting, but let's be glad for what we've had and what's to come. There's so much more embracing. Still to be done, but time is racing. Ah, well, we'll catch up some other time. Some other time.